This is a podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum. For further information, please go to www.rafmuseum.org/podcasts.
The Royal Air Force Museum, London, is the home to the world's oldest surviving Avro Lancaster. R5868, usually known as S for Sugar, after its code letter when serving with 467 Australian Squadron, is a Mark I Lancaster built in 1942. Delivered in June that year to 83 Squadron, the following month it flew the first of its 137 operations over enemy territory, one of only 20 Lancasters to survive more than 100 such sorties. During the Second World War, the Avro Lancaster formed the backbone of Royal Air Force Bomber Command's war over Nazi-occupied Europe. Over 7,000 were built, flying more than 150,000 operational sorties and dropping over 600,000 tons of bombs, almost 64% of all bombs dropped by the RAF during the war. This contribution came at a heavy cost. Some 46% of Lancasters were lost on operations. The average aircraft, with its 7-man crew, lasted just 21 operations. This is an unusual aircraft, but she was crewed by young men who were from ordinary working life before volunteering for service when their country went to war. Through the story of one aircraft, we tell the stories of all the bomber boys who served, and of whom 55,000 gave their lives in the Second World War. From the start, S for Sugar, then known as Q for Queenie, had a remarkable career. Its second operation, on the 11th of July 1942, was against the submarine yards at Danzig. This entailed a 10-hour, 1,500-mile flight and became the heaviest and most distant raid mounted by Bomber Command so far. A week later, S for Sugar's fourth raid was a daylight raid on the Krupp's armament works at Essen. The aircraft was one of three Lancasters out of 10 to reach the target, and the only one to successfully bomb the factories. Returning from this raid, S for Sugar was attacked by two Focke-Wulf 190s. Close cooperation and clear communication between the crew saw them both driven off, and S for Sugar returned to base undamaged after an operation which had lasted for 4 hours. For these two raids, the pilot, acting squadron leader Raymond Hilton, and the mid-upper gunner, pilot officer Alexander McQueen, both received the Distinguished Flying Cross. The wartime bomber crew was a close-knit team. Each crew was largely self-selected. All new recruits were told to form into new crews. It was thought that this created better crew cohesion, so a pilot might wander up to the navigators group and choose someone. That navigator might say, "I know of a good rear gunner," and then he'd go and find him. The necessary members for several crews would be left alone to sort themselves into the proper groupings. Although it seems unusual, this process was very successful, and there were very few crews who didn't bond well. Squadron leader Tony Iveson served with 617 Squadron.
There's nothing more close than a bomber crew. You had to have confidence in each other. Each one had to know his job thoroughly. Each one know his job in relation to what the rest did. And you were a complete unit, and you depended on each other. No matter what difference in rank, as a crew, you were a unit, and the closer you were, the more confidence you had, the better you were.
Collaboration between members of the crew was vital for a bomber to function and survive. The pilot's stamina, and where needed, evasive manoeuvres, the incredibly high level of skill needed by the navigator, the watchfulness of the gunners, and their skilled and accurate handling of the guns, the steady nerve of the bomb aimer, all were needed to successfully complete an operation. Crews faced a sophisticated system of fighters, anti-aircraft guns and searchlights, most of them controlled through radar. On its 18th operation, on the night of the 14th of September 1942, S for Sugar was even fired on by another Lancaster, wounding the wireless operator, Flight Sergeant Kitto. Flight Sergeant William Bates, a rear gunner with 635 Squadron, recalls being attacked by enemy fighters whilst on operation.
When it actually happens, and you see the flash and the bullets coming towards you, you don't know whether to duck or do what. Well, it's no use ducking. But he hit my flask and he hit the I think it was the port rudder. You could see the bullets coming past. And he said, "Bloody hell," you know, you didn't know. You panicked for a few seconds. and then, but you used to turn into a fighter. If you turned away from him, he got you. But if you turned into him, he got to tighten his turn to get back at you. Yes, I've been scared. I showed it for my mother and mother once, I tell you.
In mid-August 1942, after S for Sugar had completed 13 operations, 83 Squadron was designated to become part of the newly formed Pathfinder Force. The Pathfinder aircraft would fly ahead of the main bomber force, marking navigation points and the target using coloured flares. Flight Sergeant Edgar Childs flew on 43 Pathfinder raids with 83 Squadron.
These dropped down to about 2,000 feet when they exploded in the air and the burning candles cascaded down to the ground. They would mark the target. They came in different colours so that the Germans wouldn't know which colours we were going to use for what purpose at any given time.
Although Allied bomber operations were part of the turning of Allied fortunes in the war, many did not get through. Sugar was one of the Lancasters that always came back, of course, but many of her crews were lost on other missions, in other Lancasters, and in one case on a training flight. S for Sugar's career continued. Having already completed more operations than the average Lancaster, between the 6th and the 16th of November 1942, it completed no less than 4 long-haul raids from its base at RAF Witten in Cambridgeshire, all the way to Genoa in Italy, each lasting more than 7 hours, plus a raid on Hamburg. In late November, another Italian raid, and its 28th in total, saw S for Sugar visit Turin. In the new year, attention returned firmly to Germany, with the first of what would become 8 operations to Berlin on the 16th of January 1943. S for Sugar's 4th attack on Berlin, and 46th overall, came on the 29th of March 1943. There had also been raids on the Ruhr, France and Italy in the meantime, and would be one of the closest calls for its crew. The aircraft was caught in searchlights for a full 9 minutes, hit by flak and attacked by 2 night fighters. Only the skill of the crew saved the aircraft. On this operation, the pilot was a Canadian officer, Frederick Garvey, who would fly S for Sugar more than any other pilot. Garvey had worked his way to England on a freighter in 1940 and was the first pilot in Bomber Command to complete 60 trips without a break. He was awarded a Distinguished Flying Cross, followed by a Distinguished Service Order, on completing his second tour of operations, only to be killed a few weeks later on a training flight in an airspeed Oxford. On the night of the 24th of July 1943, S for Sugar took part in the heaviest Bomber Command raid of the war so far, when some 2,300 tons of bombs were dropped on Hamburg. This raid also saw the first use of window, strips of metal released from the aircraft to confuse and blind German radar. The next night, the aircraft undertook its 64th operation, this time to Essen. A distinguished passenger was Major General Frederick Anderson, commander of the US 8th Bomber Command, the main bomber component of the US 8th Air Force, who wanted to see RAF bombers at work for himself. He would remark that the fires started in Essen, which were visible over 100 miles away, were one of the most inspiring sights he had ever seen. In September 1943, with 68 operations completed, S for Sugar was transferred to 467 Squadron, a Royal Australian Air Force unit based at RAF Botsford, Leicestershire, as part of Bomber Command's main force. By now, S for Sugar had a reputation as a lucky and reliable aircraft. The aircraft was affectionately held to be capable of finding its own way back from any target in Europe, but a navigator was carried, just in case. However, on its 96th operation, another raid to Berlin in late November, S for Sugar suffered a mid-air collision over the target area with another Lancaster. Despite severe damage to the port outer wing, which was later replaced, S for Sugar limped home. Not many aircraft were this lucky, and many thousands of aircrew were forced to abandon their crippled aircraft and bail out over occupied territory. Flight Lieutenant Cy Grant, a Guyanese navigator with 103 Squadron, bailed out of a Lancaster and became a prisoner of war. He describes bailing out of the aircraft.
It's just so unreal, because you can't imagine it. You can never imagine the sensation of jumping or being blown out of a plane and being conscious enough to pull the cord and the feel is tough when this thing pulls you up and you're swaying, and the sound of the wind, the searchlight. And then the next thing you know, things happen very quickly. You feel like a huge shadow is rushing up towards you, which is the earth, basically. You don't feel as though you're going down. You have no sensation of going down. The earth is coming to the thing, and automatically having to release your parachute.
Flight Lieutenant Grant was more fortunate than most. Nearly 60,000 RAF bomber crew members were killed during the Second World War. Those who flew the bomber operations faced the danger on a routine basis, but sometimes those who were left behind coped with an equally harrowing ordeal. Flight Sergeant William Bates was briefly taken off the list of aircrew for medical reasons, and so by chance did not fly with his crew on the night when they were lost. He recalls awaiting the bomber's return.
It would be about 3 o'clock in the morning. I could hear them landing, coming in, so I got the stove red hot and a jug of water on the top. I went down to flights, and on the board it's got landed. And I looked, and there was three of ours missing, and our crew was one of them, so I was lucky. But about fortnight after, it came over the tannoy, Sergeant Bates reported to the orderly room, and I went. There was a woman there. She was Weber's girlfriend or wife, but she'd come for his little car. He got a little MG, and he drove out to the aircraft, left it on the house standing, and they'd pick it up when he landed, but they'd never come back. She'd come for his car, and she started to cry, and I thought... She looked at me, and I bet she thought I should have gone instead of him.
By November 1943, Sugar had completed almost 100 missions, and it was at this time that Hermann Göring's boast, "No enemy plane will fly over Reich territory," was inscribed on the side of the aeroplane's fuselage, along with an arrow pointing to the growing number of bomb markings and the Distinguished Service Order ribbon. By May 1944, Bomber Command was heavily involved in preparations for D-Day. An S for Sugar was paying regular visits to northern France and Belgium, attacking German defences and communications. The 100th operation took place on the night of the 6th of May 1944, against a German ammunition dump at Sablé-sur-Sarthe. However, two early returns with technical difficulties were not counted by the RAF, and so the official 100th operation did not occur until the 11th of May, when a force was sent to Burg Leopold to bomb German troops. Bad weather meant that the target was obscured. Rather than risking casualties among Belgian civilians, the bulk of the force, including S for Sugar, returned without dropping their bombs. The return journey saw repeated attacks by two Ju-88 night fighters, but S for Sugar brought her crew safe home to a rapturous welcome. For the next 2 months, the pinpoint raids in support of the Allied liberation of France continued. But in mid-July, S for Sugar's main spar was damaged during a night attack on railway yards at Revigny. Repairs would take several months, and it would not return to frontline service again with 467 Squadron until December 1944. The rest of the war saw S for Sugar taking part in ever longer operations, to the east of Germany and the Baltic coast, to Poland and to Czechoslovakia. Its 137th and final operation came on the 23rd of April 1945, with a raid on the railway yards at Flensburg. 2 days later, S for Sugar flew the first sortie of Operation Exodus, the mission to fly British ex-prisoners of war home from Europe to the UK. These flights continued through May, until eventually 74,000 prisoners had been brought home. In June 1945, 467 Squadron prepared to join Tiger Force, the Bomber Command contribution to the campaign against Japan, although the war ended before they could be deployed. In August 1945, S for Sugar was designated as a historical airframe and placed in storage. In 1960, S for Sugar was put on display at the main gate of RAF Scampton until she was assigned to the Royal Air Force Museum in 1970. Restoration was completed in August 1972, since when S for Sugar has been displayed in the main aircraft hall and then the bomber hall, which opened in 1982. She is not merely an impressive and popular exhibit, but a powerful tribute to the crews whose actions altered the course of the Second World War.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.